At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon.
I would bet you $10 that Drew recognizes this song from one movie.
Let's hear it.
Well, yeah, of course. It's Cars.
I bet you $10,000. I could have bet you any amount of money that that's why Drew played that song.
Yeah. It's from Cars. I played last week.
I knew it. The second it played, I don't know if it was.
I don't know what it was because I did not see the movie recently. But I also played "Real Gone," I think is the name of it, by Sheryl Crow last week as well. Also from Cars because in the beginning,
it's a Cars vibe.
Yeah. Huh. Anyways, you can. Yeah, I'm a Disney person.
Oh, Disney's great. Who doesn't like Disney? It's just.
I know, and it's me.
Funny the car thing.
It's just funny that I could sense the reason why.
You were on top of that. I wouldn't even think of that at all.
It's me.
I was like, oh, okay, good song. Like, we've all heard this song 100 times.
Life is a highway.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, I was not. Honestly, I had no. Like, I've seen the movie Cars. I did not know that that was the attachment to the, like, that people have with
that's
the song.
That's like the song's big movie
been,
in that.
The song's yes. been out way longer than the movie.
Correct.
My kids didn't really get. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I assume he immediately recognized it.
I think it's the concept of me at 30 likes Disney movies still and watches Scooby-Doo still. It falls into that category.
My kids didn't get into Cars. That one didn't hit the Tap household.
Okay.
Not significantly. Not zero.
Coming up in about 40 minutes or so, we're going to head out to Arrowhead. Expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here. On your own for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We also are going to find out from Cody at some point why he's going to be away for a couple days or weeks or days or months.
We don't know. We'll find out. I'll discuss it later in the show. I think I'll start with Stock Up, Stock Down. And then we I'll announce it there. And then we can get to.
Yeah. So I'm back today. And then Cody's gone immediately tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just think about things that have occurred in his life. Topics we just had. FBI, all kinds of stuff.
I mean, it has nothing to do with the FBI, you know? I don't think that is the involvement.
You guys will have to determine if you think Cody's telling the truth or not.
Oh, so now it's a game of whether or not I'm lying. We tried to get a lie detector in here at one time, I remember, but they wouldn't.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, a guy said it didn't work the way it worked in the movies. He was very serious about it. He said he was like,
they don't immediately just tell you if you're lying. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't work like that. He will not besmirch.
They have to do a whole. They have to do like a whole. Yeah, we found. I can't remember what they were called. What are they called?
I don't remember. But he's pretty serious about it.
They're not. I don't know. Not. Yeah. I'm not sure. I was about to throw out a name, but
Was a Chiefs bye week though, and I think what we do and Andy Reid, he'll talk live. The only place you can hear Andy Reid on a Monday is of course right here on 96.5 The Fan. So we'll talk. We'll hear from Andy Reid coming up at noon, but. I think they do what we talk about. Andy talks about this all the time. It's the self-scouting part of it. So the question for everybody at this point is, what are they going to? What do we hope they changed about themselves? Right? Summer's a dating situation. What are we hoping you're going to improve about the kind of person you are? 913-586-7965. I thought about this pretty hard in the bye week because I watched a lot of teams play some good football. We had mentioned early in the show, the Patriots obviously are playing great. The Colts are getting by, even if it's been a bit rocky or was a bit rocky against the Falcons. Like there was some good football being played in the AFC.
Yeah.
And at that point, the Chiefs are still outside the playoff spot. 10 weeks into the season, they currently do not possess a playoff spot. They're the 8 seed still, although the Jags losing helps. I thought the thing I thought the most about was the Chris Jones stuff we just talked about. I'd like him to play a little bit less. That's fairly obvious. I would like them to figure out their running game. And I think that there is a methodology to it that they abandon early in the season, this getting back under center. I think they need to change how they operate. I think they got the weapons and the offensive line that they should be a under center play action run team more. I'm not saying they just give up on the shotgun. That's who they are in a lot of ways, but they should do that more. They've got the speed and the ability to deceive and the offensive line that if that became more of what they did after the break, I think it could set them to a different level offensively that they haven't quite reached yet this season, not at least consistently.
So I would like to see that as well. I mean, we discussed that 2 weeks ago with the short yardage situation at the 1 yard line where they went under center, the handoff to Kareem Hunt. Ultimately, right, they kick the field goal before halftime as they don't get the third down. And so, yes, I think they've had more success going under center. I would like to see that. I think an extension of what you were saying there, I think a lot of people would like to see, and I'm in this grouping, find ways to continue to get Breshard Smith more and more involved, right? There's a little extra juice there. Yeah. And I get it. When you look at his carries, you're like, hey, the numbers don't pop out. I just don't think he's been given an opportunity, truly, to do that. Now it's another week. More faith and trust, hopefully, in him. We're over halfway through the season. So that would be an extension of what you're saying about running the ball under center. The other part for me, sometimes it's about continuing to do what you're doing, which is I hope, and I don't think they will. I want Andy Reid to continue to be just as aggressive as he has been on fourth down. That has been one of the biggest pluses, one of the biggest pluses to this season, frankly. I understand the record is the record and nobody is used to seeing them sit where they are third in the AFC West. 5-4
looks weird. 8th in the AFC.
Yeah. Currently out of a playoff spot. That is all true. But the aggressiveness on fourth down, that has to continue. I think it will, but if you're asking like what are things you want to see in their second half of the season, continue, you know, it's a 4th and 3, certainly if you're on the plus side of the field. But if it's a 4th and 3, depending on how the game's going and you're on your own, you know, 42-yard line, I want to see Andy being willing to go for those situations. You have the best quarterback in football. I actually think, you know, other than 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, you know, Kareem Hunt and short yardage when they go under center has been very, very effective. Mm-hmm. So those are two elements. And then the other, I think, will be still on the offensive side of the ball. And this is, I still think down the field, as much as we were excited to see the shots down the field to Tyquan Thorne early, I get that Worthy's back. I totally get it. But for whatever reason, the connection to Tyquan Thorne deep down the field is better than any other connection
that
Mahomes has.
You'd like to have that come back a
little
bit.
Yeah, everybody wants a 50-yard touchdown. I'm just saying that Worthy, while he's unbelievable in a lot of areas, for whatever reason so far, the connection deep down the field has just been better with Tyquan Thorne. I don't know if it's going back to the spatial awareness stuff on the sideline, if Mahomes is just unable to like pinpoint
the
speed
and he's just like not wanting to fight and battle for the ball.
Yeah, not on the same page. Like, yeah, Tyquan Thorne is going to go up and grab a football. And sometimes Xavier Worthy, due to his size, is not going to be as physical.
No,
let's be real. He's got the dislocated shoulders still.
Yeah. And so like, I do wonder, this bye week did seemingly come at a good time. Obviously we'll have no way of knowing that until we see the way they play coming out of the bye week. And certainly against, I mean, it's Broncos week. They have the biggest game of the season so far.
Yes.
This weekend against the Denver Broncos. And so they have a lot to work on in this bye week and to figure out where they are. But I'm with you in the sense that I'm not saying let's play Tyquan more, but I knew this was going to happen if they lost some games. People are going to be like, where's Tyquan? Someone last week asked where Jalen Royals is. I'm like, I don't care.
Oh, well, he's a redshirt, basically.
Like, yeah, like he's not getting on the field. I'm not worried about Jalen Royals. And honestly, wide receivers have not generally been their issue. They've actually run the ball at about league average. A lot of times when you figure out how the hell did they get to 5-4, one is they completely blew a Jags game. They no-showed two games in the biggest way they can, which is the Bills and the Chargers. And not no-showed, but like
got dominated,
yeah. Right? They were like, did they have a chance to win both of those games technically? Yes, they did. Were they clearly beat up by the other team? Yes. All right, so I got one game that makes no sense. Shouldn't have lost to Jags. Two games where they got beat up. And where did they get beat up? On the offensive line and the defensive line. Not at wide receiver versus corner. not versus that. And the other thing that I think has been consistent in their losses and consistent in their struggles is linebackers and coverage, which got mentioned on Twitch and on YouTube.
That's been a multiple year thing, though, man.
How do I want them to self-scout that? Is it just play Jaden Hicks against tight ends more? That's a tough self-scout because they like being in the coverages they like being in. And they're not going to just take Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, not take Leo Chenal. They're not taking them off the field. So that was one that, I would love to see them just simply cover better. But because of the self-scouting part and the way that they play their linebackers, I don't think they're coming off the field.
I think the coverage with the linebackers, specifically against tight ends, that concern, of course, it's valid. We've seen that, guys, for 2 or 3 years at least. This has been an ongoing problem. So I'm not as convinced that that's getting solved on the back half of the season. You know, the issue, I guess, for me defensively would be, as much as we can talk about offense, what we would like them to do, defensively, I don't have much to change because I don't think there's a lot they can change. Simply put, get after the quarterback more. Well, right, but I don't think there's much they can do differently there. I think it kind of is what it is. That's why we all wanted them to go and trade for a defensive end or defensive lineman. You know, to at least give them a little more depth. I'm not saying they're going to trade for someone that was going to come in here and finish with 8 sacks in the second half.
They were trading for Myles Garrett,
No. But I think a lot of if you have concerns defensively, a lot of those are off-season problems, again, not in-season, other than maybe what you're saying, Cody, which is get Jaden Hicks on the field a little bit more. Other than that, I think the offensive ways are still where more of the realistic improvement can happen, because they have the personnel on offense.
They've had some games where you're like, ooh, man, this team
to me, they
score.
Have the personnel. I know we would like them to have a star running back, but to me, they have the personnel to make it work with what they need to do if they're willing to do some certain things. They have the wide receivers. They have the offensive line. If Josh Simmons is back, and we'll find out more from Andy, perhaps, I don't know how much he's going to share, but as far as timeline for Sunday and whether he's going to play, but he's back with the team, which is a great sign. We know what level he was playing at prior to his absence. So to me, they have the personnel on the O-line as well. The area they don't have the personnel to make the improvement is, to me, on the defensive side of the ball.
Where they can play, but they can play cleaner football. We've seen them not change defensive personnel and play better. So
Spags is a great coach. Yeah.
They can improve just in general play, but the ability is not going to change unless Chris Jones turned to someone else. Funny enough, we were talking about him. Seth Walder had sent out the stats of double team win rate.
Okay.
So the amount you're double teamed, the XY axis stuff, the amount you're double team versus the amount you win in double teams. Jeffrey Simmons is the number one player in the league at beating double teams compared to the number of times he's double teamed. Chris Jones still appears to be about second. It's not a clear one versus another. He is still better than almost every other defensive tackle in the NFL at it. He is just below what normal Chris Jones is.
And that's why he's not, it goes back to I take issue with anybody that's saying he's washed. No, he's not playing at the same level. He's got to be better, but it's very difficult based off of who's not performing around him. Mm-hmm. And he's clearly frustrated by all of it as well, but he does have to be better.
Yes.
Both can be true. We can say he's not washed, he's not playing at that level, but also he needs to play a hell of a lot better for this defense to improve in the second half of the season. One team that was trying to improve at wide receiver was the Buffalo Bills.
Wide receivers do stink, although it didn't stop the Chiefs from winning a Super Bowl a couple times.
No, and the Chiefs, of course, struggled against the tight ends, not the wide receivers for Buffalo, and obviously James Cook did his thing. But I bring this up because there was a report over the weekend that the Dolphins were in discussions with the Buffalo Bills, so an in-division trade, that's also why this did not happen, for Jalen Waddle, where Jalen Waddle would have ended up with the Buffalo Bills, which would have been a really nice trade for Buffalo.
Yeah, agreed.
Reports are that they were willing, they being the Bills, to give up a first-round pick. But in 2027, the Dolphins wanted one now, as in this upcoming April-May draft, and that is why the deal fell through. Now, I don't know if they were more specific because it was a divisional opponent. If an NFC team would have said first-round pick.
We learned that Micah Parsons has a poison pill in his contract that the Packers can't just go and trade him to the Eagles.
Or the NFC East. Yeah. So I don't know if this was a divisional tax. I think it's a mistake. And I recognize that the Bills just lost to the Dolphins, and it was a big win for Mike McDaniel.
Still fighting for old Mike McDaniel.
Jalen Waddle looked really, really good yesterday and all that. But this is, to me, a trade you have to make if you were Miami. What are you doing? You don't want to trade him in your division. I understand. But if you were really just taking issue with the fact that it was a first rounder in 27 instead of 26. You have an interim GM right now. You're not close to winning in 2026 anyway. 2027, most people think is a better draft class, especially at some of the skill positions, maybe not quarterback, but wide receiver and some others. why would you not have done that trade if you're Miami? You, even with a win yesterday over Buffalo, you're 3-7.
Look, especially because you're an interim GM, what do you have to lose? Make a bold trade. Like, take a
first
risk.
Rounder.
Because here's the thing. If at any chance you get to keep the job, which we don't know if you will, you're the interim general manager, but if any chance that you get to keep the job at the end of this, well, they're going to give you a couple of years to figure it out at GM Gold, and in one of those years, you'll have an additional first-round pick. I mean, I don't understand. I genuinely don't understand the idea of not doing it, because here's the thing. You're stuck with Tua for at least one more year.
Yep.
At least. He is a $99 million dead cap hit next season. $56 million to keep him. So I'll just tell you right now, Tua is going to be at least on the roster at a massive cap disadvantage. A $56 million. And they're not going to move the money around, because they're going to want to try to save the $22 million they can in 2027. Eat $30 in dead cap, but at least get themselves out of this thing if they're done with Tua. So if you're a GM, they're going to give you the rest of this year, all of next year, if you get to keep the job. So by the time that first-round pick comes around, perfect. Now you're trying to make a name for yourself, and you got a couple of first-round picks, and that team's not close. It's just not. You can still trade Tua in the off, or Tyreek in the offseason. Maybe someone will take Tua off your hands. Probably not.
They might just cut Tyreek.
Yeah, but like, you can find other ways to do it. Good for the Bills for trying. I can't believe Miami didn't bite on it. This kind of goes back to the Breece Hall thing. I don't understand why
didn't
just take the fourth.
Take the Chiefs out of it, because they don't need wide receiver help. But most team first round pick for Jalen Waddle, does that seem crazy for you?
Seems slightly high.
But that's what I'm saying. So
honestly,
that seems like
they're doing it in 2027. It technically has less value according to draft trade charts and stuff. So it's more like a 2026 second, maybe a high second.
Waddle is, he turns 27 in like 2 weeks. So 27, you figure you got three more years of probably a pretty effective wide receiver.
I mean, what's he owed?
And he's got $11 million next year, $33 million in 2027.
I mean, and look, wide receivers cost a lot of money, so that's maybe you extend
them and
lower that number.
Next year, $11 million bucks?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
For Jalen Waddle?
What are they going to do? Roll in another rookie and hope? They need a veteran wide receiver. Like, we can joke about all the way. They miss Stephon Diggs. Like, I don't think Stephon Diggs is like the end of the world as far as talented wide receiver, but like, they miss having a veteran wide receiver who could occasionally get open. Waddle's only had 3 1,000-yard seasons in his career, which is not bad out of 5 years. He might get there again this year, especially with Tyreek gone. He's been a good wide receiver. I mean,
what have the Bills gotten since they moved on from Diggs? Like, obviously, him and Allen, you got to side with the quarterback. They didn't. Maybe there was all the reported tension or whatever. But so you side with the quarterback. But in terms of, you know, if it was really going to be detrimental, that Bills haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. Have still been unable to get over the hump in the AFC title game against Kansas City. Now they're in danger of not winning a division for the first time in a while, much like Kansas City's in danger of not winning their division. Like, that's the reason why the Bills were interested in Jalen Waddle. I mean, they clearly need a wide receiver help. I guess there really wasn't many wide receiver movement other than like Rashid Shaheed and who was the other receiver that moved? Rashid Shaheed and one other receiver I'm trying to think of that moved during the deadline.
All right, so Josh Allen, when did he come into the league? 2020?
No.
Or 2019? He was a couple 17. Years after.
He was a year after Mahomes.
A year after Mahomes. 18. So starting in 19, his leading wide receiver was John Brown. Then it was Diggs, 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 Diggs. Like, I mean, do you see a standard here that might exist all the way through 2023?
Well, they failed to draft one. I mean, Keon Coleman, remember, we all know the Chiefs take Worthy. They get Coleman, and Coleman has just been a bust.
Yeah, and Worthy hasn't lived up to what he was last year.
He's been
so
way better
far
than Keon Coleman,
but
though.
Yes, no, I was going to finish that sentence. Like, he definitely is way better than him. There's no doubt about it. Last year's leading wide receiver for them was Khalil Shakir, I'm guessing. With 821 yards, Keon Coleman being second. And look, I'll take this, and look, the Bills got a better record than the Chiefs this year, so whatever. The Chiefs have the overall success, so I'll give them this. Patrick Mahomes did it without wide receivers. He won Super Bowls without wide receivers. So it can't just be that holds you back. I think people are using that as a Josh Allen excuse.
Text line's right. Jacoby Meyer, the other receiver that got traded. That should have been an interesting name for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, probably.
It does speak, I think, to the level of desperation that the Bills felt to offer a first-round pick. Because, I mean, is Jalen Waddle a one? We think he's a one, but is he a legit number one? I think the Bills were so desperate that it's like, we don't even know if he's a one or not, but we're willing to give you that first round pick just because we need somebody.
I will say the way he's performed since Tyreek went
he's been
down
good, yes,
would indicate stronger that he is one. Maybe he's a lower end one, Drew, right? Same thing applies, though. There's only like 5 to 7 guys that are of the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase,
yeah, of course,
Puka Nacua ilk. Lamb, yeah, those guys, there's only a handful of them. And then everyone else kind of lumps into the rest of this number one wide receiver. We're like, Rashee Rice belongs right now until proven otherwise. So we'll see where that lands.
Trash of the day.
It's almost that time of the year where you can start seeing Home Alone on TV all the time. Holidays are right around the corner. Thanksgiving in a couple weeks. Your kids have never watched Home Alone?
No, they don't seem. I've tried to get them to watch it a couple of times. They didn't seem real into it, but I'm just going to.
Yeah.
We're locking it
in
this year.
You got to force them to watch
it. They're 7 and 9. Feels like a great time. Paint can to the head. That kind of stuff. That feels like,
well, you know. New York City's Plaza Hotel, of course, has a Home Alone 2 package. So you can live like Kevin McAllister.
Let's go.
So they're giving fans of Home Alone 2 a chance to live the dream for one night. The package will give you a limo ride around New York City, visiting the various filming locations like the Empire State Building, Rockefeller Center, Carnegie Hall, Music Hall, etc. A large cheese pizza.
Okay.
A 16-scoop ice cream monstrosity with topping sausage. Sausages
would
be weird.
Yeah,
sausages,
weird.
Which you can presumably just eat in bed.
I think you would.
Rates for the package vary depending on the type of room. A one-bed king room package will run you $1,700. It's a lot of money for what you're getting.
You gotta love Home Alone.
Man.
So what? Like, here's the thing. Like, that's something you got to do with your kids. So you're gonna need multiple rooms.
Or can I get like
the suite? Do you have a suite or you have just the king room? You just
or can I get two queens?
Yeah.
You know, can I like, so at least like the kids and I can all share the room together, but at least I'm getting
would you do
more?
Take the money out of it. If you were already going to New York, like I wouldn't fly to New York just for this, but if you were already going to New York,
said
one night, let's do it. Let's ignore the money for a second.
To me, it's the same as like creating any other experience. Like you went swimming with dolphins. It's the same as creating any other experience.
Sure.
That would be a fun, one-off, unique experience. Plus, if you go to New York, a lot of people want to go to the Empire State Building, Rockefeller, you know, Central Park, all of those. And like I've been to New York one time. I went to like most of those. I don't think I went to Carnegie Hall.
I did not.
But I spent a morning in Central Park. We went to Radio City Music Hall. Like, you know, those are the things you do.
Someone wanted to know, Cody, can you ship your kid just up there by themselves? So they can
true experience.
Give them the dad's credit card and just go and check it and see if
we were just having this conversation with a group of parents with kids almost the exact same age as ours. They said that they'd started their kids, they'll like, if they're gonna run out for like 20 minutes, they trust them for 20 minutes to like be at home. And it's so kid dependent. I just like, if I sent one of my kids out there, I'd never see him again. The other one would probably run the town by the time the thing was over. So like, it's just kid dependent. Would I send either of my kids? No, I'd be more likely to send one than the other if they were just going to go to New York by themselves for a few days. They don't have a cell phone. You know what? They'd have an advantage of cell
I think
phone.
You
now,
should like,
Home Alone doesn't exist in the land of cell phones.
No, I know.
Can't remake it.
You should lean in though. Like if you're actually going to book this reservation, you should not book it all. You should call in and have like, Kevin McAllister, like whatever that voice is. Yeah, like just probably, go all in. Yeah,
I'm probably going to spend another $1,000 in like buying a talk boy or like
all of it.
Yeah, I'm going to
carry around a talk boy while you check in.
I'm going to get the whole damn thing. We're going full
experience.
Someone
says, does Rob Schneider, is you get a bellboy that looks like Rob Schneider? Yeah, Cedric. Yeah. Are you going to have some bubble gum, Cody, and just.
Dude, there are so many one liners in that movie that are.
Oh, it's a classic. I mean, it's an all timer. I don't know how anybody doesn't like Home Alone. Home Alone 2, in particular, Home Alone 2 here, right?
I love both. This is a Home Alone 2 one because of the New York part.
Yeah.
Versus he's at home.
I saw like the ones they've tried to remake that they're just not that good.
3 and 4,
yeah,
I think.
No.
I didn't.
The one where the kid's at home, like obviously, but like, like in a, you know what I'm talking about, like where it he doesn't go anywhere. Like at least the other ones, like he's at least venturing out to New York City or whatever. The one that has, oh my gosh, who's the actress? The mom's different. It's not the same. It's not the same with a different mom.
Yeah. Catherine O'Hare is the... O'Hara is the original mom.
But not in the 3 or 4.
No. I'm not watching those. Yeah. I've never watched them, and I never will.
Someone says, don't discount the delicious-looking cookies that come with the room.
Yeah, the whole...
That's true.
The whole... not desk, but... whatever it is, table with all the
what was the thing?
The candy and everything
He had the
cabinet,
the inflatable whatever that was.
Yeah,
yeah. Just go all in on the whole thing.
Yeah,
they should offer that when you check in.
I mean, honestly, if they're smart and you're paying $2,000 for the room, well then
there you go.
They'll have a couple little small homages.
You can book that if you want at the New York City Plaza Hotel. You never know who will walk in the lobby of the hotel as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Could be anybody.
That is the trash of the day. Maybe the president. I don't know. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing that our group chat had in it over the weekend. So I did not respond. I was obviously not in the country. And I saw it, and I almost even responded.
On vacation.
It was our, not just our show group chat. This was basically the station group chat, including a former Chiefs player. We'll get to that next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Just Andy Reid at noon today. It's a Monday.
Oh, my days are all
You're
thrown
all
off.
You're all screwed up.
My days are all thrown
you
off.
You went from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
I wanted to hear from Patrick
Wednesday.
Mahomes today, okay?
Tough.
I wanted to hear from him. Andy at noon. I'm sorry.
Exclusively right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Only place to hear Andy Reid on a Monday.
That's right. Yeah, my days are all thrown off. In fairness, I got in late last night, and it's my days are all. I got to get
at
back in the
groove. You didn't miss your flight. I thought you were going to.
Yeah, I was worried. Well, everybody knows what's going on with the whole FAA stuff and flights getting canceled. And so mine got canceled, but got back on. I appreciate Delta for making it happen. They got Trent McDuffie back as well. So, you know,
good.
It was weird on the flight out. Hunter Norzad. I don't know him and his, I don't know, girlfriend or whatever. Were flying out.
You recognized Hunter Norzad? I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
We cover we're up at training camp for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I was like, would you recognize Hunter Norzad?
He was also wearing a Chiefs hat. Not that. That can't happen, but he looks like a football. I knew exactly who it was. We've been around the team.
I know.
I don't know if anybody else on the plane knew. Now, McDuffie's one of the star players in the league. I think most people knew that.
Maybe not in Atlanta. That's where football takes
advantage.
Yeah,
but we're at the Kansas City gate. I mean, most of the people are Kansas City residents. I don't know how many connecting flights go through Kansas City. Can't be that many.
Not going to Atlanta. You just go straight out of Atlanta. Atlanta's a hub.
Right, right. So anyway, but yeah, it's good to be back. Andy Reid at noon, it turns out.
Yeah, close enough.
Turns out. All right, let's talk about something that happened, though. I saw this text come through. I did not respond. I was so close because I had texts from other people, and some texts I just ignored because I wanted to just check out for a couple days. But logical. We have a group chat, and this was what, Drew, you're on this one too, I think.
Yeah, Drew's on.
I think all of us are.
Feels like everyone in the whole building, except for maybe Fesco.
Yeah, it's basically a station group. I think it's basically like a station group chat. And Sean Barber is also on there, which is funny because he'll randomly chime in. And what was the, I only caught the end of it, so you have to explain to me how we got to this point. But it was talking about College Game Day, right? And Patrick Mahomes was the guest picker.
Yes.
He for got, Texas
which,
Tech.
Which, if you remember earlier in the week, we had predicted that that was going to be the logical transition.
True.
And so Mahomes was the guest picker, and they got him out here picking games. And of course, he's like, go Red Raiders, and they're going to win. You're like, yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
In picking games on Saturday, he picked Texas A&M to beat Missouri.
Smart.
Logical. They got Fetty Wopped, I think, was what the 17-38 was the final score of that one. So they got worked over by Texas A&M. Not a good weekend for Missouri. It happens. Barber's contention, and this is what I want to know, if there's a single fan who listens to this show. We know you guys speak for the Kansas City Chiefs fans and any of you who are Chiefs fans and Missouri fans or fans of a college team if he did this to yours.
Right.
He picked Texas A&M to win. And Barber's contention is, because he plays football in Missouri, he should have only picked the University of Missouri to win, even if he knew it was wrong, because he risked angering those who are fans of both. So I guess hypothetically, in this case, he should have also probably chosen Kansas to win and Missouri to win.
I think that was his take.
And if Kansas State was playing, he should have maybe hypothetically chosen them. Maybe not as much them because they're a little bit further from the metro area. But his contention is that he should choose Missouri to win every time because he plays in Missouri and fans will be mad at him for choosing against their school. And I couldn't think of a single person in my life. Carrington was in the group chat. He didn't care. I'm trying to think about a single person in my life who would care about that.
That was bizarre, honestly. That was kind of bizarre. I don't think anybody views him differently because he didn't pick Missouri to win. He didn't go to Missouri. In fact, the stadium he plays in is located in Missouri, so he has to pick Missouri to win against Texas A&M. No, that was bizarre to me.
Cody, in fairness, if Barber's stance is he should be cheering for Missouri schools, then he should think that UMKC's won in the Summit League then in college basketball. Patrick Mahomes should be rooting on the Ruse.
Yeah, you know, he should get to one Ruse game at Swinney Rec this year.
Support your local...
There's no Altera now. They know VIP.
Who are they playing anytime soon, huh?
I don't know. I have to look at their
schedule. Is it Iona? Last night, there was a bunch of Iona basketball players that were waiting for baggage. Are they playing one of the locals?
Probably.
I don't know if it's UMKC. Are they playing KU or something?
Maybe. They are playing Iona tomorrow.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hey.
Playing Iona very soon. As good eye. They were on your plane as well?
I don't know if they're on my plane. They just were at the baggage carousel. Oh, that was a whole other thing. I told you I was all excited, Cody, not to check any bags this whole trip.
Check anyway?
I was on the way out. No, on the way back, gate check. I was back because of flights.
You had to pay for it, right?
No, but still, I wanted to get the hell out of there.
You tried to be a carry-on, but because you were the
back of the late plane
addition,
because they moved
back
us around.
Plane,
anyway,
yeah.
Someone says that's a very Sean Barber tick. JT, as a true diehard Mizzou fan, don't care that Mahomes picked A&M because I, for one, thought A&M was going to win anyway.
I mean,
Mahomes wants to be right on the picks. Look, he was right.
Yeah.
I'll listen. Because Barber's not here to defend himself, I'll defend one part of it. If it were Missouri versus West Virginia, or just like Missouri versus a game that's a pick'em, right? It's like even money, pick'em. Sure, just say Missouri.
It's Missouri, Mississippi State this upcoming
weekend.
What's
the harm? Yes. Just take Missouri. A&M, the third-ranked team in the country.
If you think,
I'm saying like you could just take the lamb and be like, yeah, Missouri. You know what I'm saying?
I guess, but he's not on College Game Day for Missouri. He was on to represent Texas Tech. So I don't think it matters. Like, I mean, that same thing applies when we do picks. Like, people think we're hating on a school. If like I think Kansas is legitimately winning or losing a game, or I think Missouri is legitimately winning or losing a game, then I'll pick what I think is going to happen. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But like you make picks based on what you actually think is going to happen, not offend somebody.
But when we occasionally on this show, when we pick against Kansas City, and we do occasionally, it's not often because they win a lot of football games. When we pick against them every once in a while, the text line doesn't like it. But that's picking against
the Chiefs.
I think
Mahomes did good on
his
picks, too, didn't he? He had Texas Tech correct, obviously.
He had A&M correct.
He had A&M correct. I don't know how he did overall, if he was 5-0 or something or what.
That's all. Just asking the question. I thought it was really – Barber was, I mean –
He was firm. Yes, he was
firm in that opinion. This wasn't like a, do you think Missouri fans would be mad? This was a, for I you're leaving stand
out the best. You're leaving out the best part, though, oh, of wait, the text.
Which part? Let me see.
Was it the season ticket holder one?
It was the one that Rob responded back to right away.
Nah, I got to go back and find it. Too many texts over the weekend, I guess.
It was about, basically, as Mitch Holtis would say.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Mitch says Missouri too? Question mark?
No. Sean Barber said, as Mitch Holtis says, touchdown Kansas City, Missouri. We're like, he doesn't say touchdown Kansas City, Missouri.
He says Kansas City.
He
didn't, same as, I mean, we know it's Missouri because he's not talking about KCK.
They're not the Kansas City, Missouri Chiefs.
So I guess the other question is, be careful with that. We're about to get bombarded on the text line. That's going to get in a whole stadium thing. Uh-huh.
What happens if they go to Kansas? Then he can pick against Missouri.
They're the Kansas City, Kansas Chiefs, apparently, all of a sudden. Yeah.
And Barber can
no, they're the Kansas City Chiefs
and
people.
And Barber will say Mahomes has to pick KU or K-State then in all games.
Someone says they need to change the order on College Game Day. I didn't like waiting 3 hours for the guest picker. Yeah, they saved that for the very end. Yeah.
Tough.
Patrick Mahomes, there's very little Patrick Mahomes can say that will change people's opinion about him.
He's going to go down as the single biggest sports hero in this town ever.
Yes. He has changed a lot of people's lives in this city. I know that may sound dramatic, but I think it's the truth. He has changed so many people's lives in this city.
He's actively changed ours.
Absolutely.
We took this job at a time when Patrick Mahomes just started winning a bunch of Super Bowls. And now you listen to the show. And maybe hypothetically, you wouldn't have listened to the show if that's it. Plus, at least it gives us interesting things to talk about. So that part plays in there as well. Meanwhile, over the weekend, I do think it was an interesting week to follow the AFC and figure out where the Chiefs were going to end up based on the AFC standings. And then obviously we'll take an early break to make sure we get to Andy Reid on the other side there. I start with the 8-2 teams because I think that's the most interesting stretch. The Broncos, the Colts, and the Patriots. Just real quick as we talk about their results this weekend. Broncos on Thursday. I trashed them pretty hard on Friday because I'm like, I can't take them serious yet the way that they are playing.
That was one of the worst football games.
And for the arguments I was getting in with the text line, I don't like that you're like, well, they're winning the same way the Chiefs won last year.
They are.
That is true. But they also don't have a 3-time Super Bowl champion quarterback or Andy Reid. So they aren't the same, even if they're doing it the same. It's not going to equate to the same in the end for me. The Colts have been on thin ice because they got their ass kicked by the Steelers. And then they just turned over a bunch against the Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
And then had to scrape by a little bit against the Texans. And Daniel Jones has certainly looked a lot more human.
Or Falcons. Yeah.
Falcons.
Yeah.
And so when I look at the 8-2 teams and we start there, all 3-1. Broncos won, Patriots won, Colts won. All 3-1. I take the Patriots the most serious. They seem like a team that has it together. And the Colts and the Broncos, probably a wash for me. But for two teams, Patriots have won 7 in a row. Broncos have won 7 in a row. Colts have only lost 2 games all year. I mean, it does look like it's a weirdo year in the AFC. Those are not the three teams we expected to be the top of the standings.
It looks like an outlier year. I don't know how many people, 1 year is all it takes for these franchises. Other than New England, it feels like the other ones are not as sustainable. I don't know about you guys. I look at the Patriots and I think, while their schedule's easy, I can see this thing with Mike Vrabel and Drake May being sustainable for a while because they still have a lot of room to improve the roster. This is far from a finished product. Indianapolis, I'm not exactly sure case. By the way, the reason why I'm talking over myself and stumbling is Cody just showed me some breaking news out of the NFL. Is that confirmed?
Yeah, that's Schefter.
Adam Schefter, Brian Daboll out as the head coach of the New York Giants. Jackson Dart saved his job for a couple. Yeah, Drew, you're happy about this.
It had to be done.
He was always going to lose his job. I don't care whether it's this week or 5 weeks from now.
These stupid teams, though, man. They just keep taking high quarterbacks, and then the coach doesn't even make it through the year.
Is there a report of who's
Not yet. Interim? I haven't seen who the interim is.
I mean, if they're smart, it'll be someone like Kafka. It'll be an offensive-minded guy that they can take a look at it.
It's weird, though. In this situation, don't they always give it to, the special teams coordinator?
A lot of times. Usually want the OC trying to handle the head coaching responsibilities. You give it to somebody that's not as, quote-unquote, busy, basically. Or someone that has head coaching experience. I don't know who the other coordinators are on staff there for the Giants. Is there anybody that's been a head coach before on staff?
Remember, we just did this. Which team did we just do this with, and we correctly identify the person? Who was the first coach fired this
McCoy,
year?
Mike McCoy, Texas, or Titans.
Oh, Mike McCoy. I was like, we identified this earlier.
Yeah, you guys called that one.
Well, look, it's a fairly simple process. You just go through and see if there's anybody.
Is Antonio Pierce?
They do not have They do not have anyone on staff who has been a head coach before in the NFL. Right now, Kafka, Shane Bowen is their defensive coordinator, their special teams coordinator, who could be the interim head coach. Is certainly not a guy. They do not have a single guy on staff who's a former NFL head coach.
Now, Kafka's already the assistant head coach, so.
A lot of the guys are already young. Like
that's probably him, then. He's already the assistant head coach.
Yeah. Seems like he's probably the most likely.
So Dable's out. We kind of figured, again, that this was going to happen.
It's just, this is people with the last name Ferentz on their coaching staff? Are they related?
Kirk Ferentz.
James and Steve Ferentz.
Obviously have to be related. There's no way. Like, somehow. There's no way. There's that many Ferentzes around college football and the NFL. Anyway, going back to last offseason, this is why they should have fired their GM and head coach. Gone in the draft last year already with a new head coach and everything. Now you go into this year, you start Russell Wilson for like 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it was, 3 weeks. Then you switch to Dart. He gave you a spark. He's looked good at times. He also, unfortunately, I don't like the fact that he's been in concussion protocol twice already in his young NFL career. He did not return to yesterday's game. I don't like that. That's kind of freaking me out a little bit with the start of his career. And now you're going to have a new GM and head coach come in. I guess the GM hasn't been fired yet, but come on.
No, but it'll be their sixth head coach in 9 years whenever the interim takes the gig, is what Adam Schefter said. That's not a great ratio. Since 2016, this would be the sixth head coach you had. I don't know. What do you, is that Bill's job appealing? Is that Giants' job appealing?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, absolutely it is. There's talent there. I mean, I think Jackson Dart has shown you that there's something there that even if you don't draft another quarterback, I think you can work with that. I think you're excited about
Neighbors and Scatabu
Malik Neighbors coming back. Scatabu is like, he's a fun player to watch. I don't know if he's ever going to be like this dynamic, game-changing running back. He's a fun, complimentary piece. I would want another back that's more explosive. Cam's a great story, though. Malik Neighbors is the biggest thing that you like. You also still have a pretty impressive defensive front. But New York, it kind of has the same feel as the Jets, where it's like sometimes those are just franchises that just feel cursed. Now, there's only so many head coaching jobs, and you think you're going to be the guy that's going to turn it around. You don't take a job thinking you're going to fail, so it doesn't apply there. Now, if you're asking the two openings currently, Titans or Giants, which one am I more intrigued by? The Giants, not even close.
Totally.
Not even close. I would rather have the Giants.
Former number overall pick, Cam Ward.
I don't like what I've seen from Cam Ward.
Not good.
And the roster's bad. The challenge for the Giants, that division is brutal. It's a brutal division to be in, whereas the South, you figure you could turn that around quicker. But, it'll be another job that Matt Nagy gets an interview for, I bet.
Are you sure? They had Spags before. They
wanted interview.
And in fairness, Spags wasn't coming from the Chiefs at that time. It's slightly
Spags
different.
Would be a fun hire. Obviously, we have the whole Jersey background in New York and everything. But
I think young quarterback got to hire an offensive line.
I was going to say.
It won't be Spags anyway. He's already been fired by the Giants as their head coach before.
I don't.
He was there. He was a head coach for them.
Yeah, I don't think. Is that someone on the text line was saying that?
I just mentioned him because.
Someone on the text line mentioned him as
okay. I don't think that's got it.
I think Nagy might get an interview.
For sure. Spags will get interviews this offseason as well. I just think only one of them is actually going to possibly get a head coaching game.
Can I toss one name out there just based on the fact that they've continued to fight for him? Is Mike McDaniel going to get fired in Miami and still just get another head coaching job? Because the team hasn't quit on him.
No.
They're not a good team, and they have massive problems and serious injuries. But I give credit to a coach whose team just didn't, like, the interim GM didn't fire him. Ownership didn't give up on him.
Over.
The team didn't give up on him. It doesn't seem like they're just, like, totally out on Mike McDaniel, despite the success not being there at all. I wonder if in the offseason they just decide to wash their hands of it anyway, if because of the way he's, like, having a smooth firing, you know? If it went out like that, would there be another team that, like, hooked into him quick because of the offensive part and what you mentioned in Jackson Dart and run schemes and offensive? Like, I don't know. I'm just asking.
It's weird how everything is perceived differently because the McDaniel situation, you're right, that he's going to get the whole season now, but he's getting fired still. So, like, it's always like nobody wants to get fired. I guess the fact you let the guy out of respect finish the season, he also hasn't lost the team, to your point. I don't know. Like, I think the Giants have an opening now with Dable being fired just now. The Titans have an opening. The Dolphins will have an opening at the end of the year. Those are three for sure. I think there's a chance Arizona opens. Jonathan Gannon might get fired at the end of this year, too. There's a chance that Arizona opens up. So there's four openings, and I'm missing somebody else that we think is likely going to have an opening as well.
They got to pull up the NFL standings now, figure out who's in the first.
Who am I thinking of?
Did you mention the Jets job?
They're not going to. I don't. Yeah, Stefanski. That could be the Cleveland could open up. I don't think the Jets are going to fire Aaron Glenn after one year. I know it was trending that way. I don't know if they're going to. We'll see.
They just look so lost.
They could though. Yeah, they absolutely could. I think the Cardinals is the one that hasn't happened that I think is one to watch.
Dallas going to give more than 1 year to.
I think he deserves it, actually, as bad as it is. Like, I think Brian Schottenheimer offensively, he's the offensive mind. He's the OC. They've actually been all right. You traded away Micah Parsons right before the season for this dude. No, I'm about to curse. No kidding. The defense is not doing any good.
Official, by the way, Adam Schefter saying Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka, former Kansas City Chiefs staffer, will be the interim head coach for the Giants.
I think this is also a trial
after
run.
Brian Daboll.
Sure. If all of a sudden they not that they're going to win many games, but if they look better collectively, not that the players determine who's hired, but it almost feels like a... But
he was also long thought of as a potential head coach.
The Chiefs loved him. They just couldn't hold on to him. The problem with Kafka, in terms of what you're saying, a tryout, Jackson Dart may not play next week. He's in concussion protocol. Like, he might be
the OC.
They
left him out to die, man.
Yeah, they did not protect him well enough. The issue is, it might be Russell Wilson for Mike Kafka next week. Who do the Giants even play this week? I don't even know. Oh, someone said Atlanta could open up. Yeah, I could see it. That's true. I could see Raheem Morris might be in a little bit of trouble there. It's only year two, though, right? So I could see that being a little problematic.
Yeah. I don't know.
Giants schedule the rest of the way. Packers, good luck. Then Lions, then Patriots. Oh, boy.
Let's say they both got ousted. Would you rather have Daboll or Kafka as your OC? Let's say Nagy took a job.
Kafka,
right?
100%.
Okay. Just checking. Daboll was a successful offensive coordinator.
With Josh Allen.
Established offensive coordinator.
With Josh
I think it's
Allen.
A fair question.
Yeah.
I think Kafka's the answer here in Kansas City a lot of times because he left and he was good and they wanted him to stay and he was good with Patrick Mahomes and all the other stuff.
Right. Yeah. And Daboll got a lot out of Daniel Jones for 1 year, but then now it's looked bad when you see what they're getting out of him in Indy. You're like,
oh my God.
So that's the problem for Daboll, I think.
Quite the stretch.
He'll be an OC again next year, Daboll, though, somebody.
Quite the stretch for interim head coach Mike Kafka. His next three games are Packers, Lions, Patriots, you said? Oh, I missed it. I was like, it's so good. Insane.
The rough trip.
And they have Vikings who are pretty decent. Well, they're not great, but...
Yeah. Oh, someone said, Cliff Kingsbury could get a job. I always wonder if this year has hurt his chances. He probably will be a head coach
again. I think
there's
enough head coaching jobs that they'll just ignore that it wasn't his fault.
Jane Daniels getting hurt throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So, Brian Daboll out.
Yeah.
Yesterday was blowing that lead to Chicago was the last straw.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Up next, we're going to hear from Andy Reid live right here on 96.5. The family only place on a Monday you can hear from Coach Reid is here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to that. We'll also talk a little bit more about stock up, stock down. We're going to find out why Cody is just leaving for a while.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.